Okay, you guys, here we go. She Runs Ultras, episode number 204. So today I want to talk about four different types of run workouts that you need to incorporate into your plan in order to go farther or faster. So if you're in the beginning stages of putting together your training plan for this year, this episode is perfectly timed. So you might have to come back to this one, listen again, take some notes, because I'm going to drop a lot of information in this one. So maybe bookmark it, save it, star it, whatever you have to do. All right. So let's just jump right in. The four types of run workouts are endurance runs, steady state runs, tempo runs, and running intervals. So we're going to dig into each one here, and I'm going to sort of define them so you understand what each one is. Now, my big beef with training plans is that a lot of times they just have mileage. I've been talking to a lot of my clients inside She Runs Ultras, and that's been like the resounding sentiment, the difference between my Run Your First 50K training plan and all the other ones. All the other ones just have mileage, like show up on this day and run this number of miles. Some of them get specific about exactly what you're supposed to do. Some of them, I'm going to share at the end of this episode, are so freaking confusing because I went out and looked. I'm like, I want to see what other people are putting out in terms of 50K training plans. And man, what I found was wild. I'll talk about it at the end. So if you're working off a plan that just says, go out and run 3 miles or 5 miles or four, whatever it is, this is going to be really helpful for you, because what you want to do is create some differentiation between the runs that you're doing. Okay. So let's just talk. We're going to go in RPE scale. Hopefully you guys know what I'm talking about when I say RPE, but rate of perceived exertion. It's sort of this like universal scale that we use to gauge effort. So I talked about it. Oh gosh, I don't know if I can do this in real time. Let's see if I can figure out what episode I talked about heart rate and RPE. How long can I talk and scroll? Here we go. Heart rate zones versus RPE, episode 182. If you go back to 182 and listen to this one, I sort of detail out the difference between training using a chest strap or some sort of heart rate monitor, whether that's on a watch or a chest or an arm, or using rate of perceived exertion. Which one is better? Okay. So go back and listen to that one, episode 182. It's the one with the heart in the title. Like if you're scrolling through the feed, stop on the one with the heart. I thought it was very fitting to just put a heart in the title of that episode. So we're going to go in order of easiest to most difficult. So lowest on the RPE scale up to highest. So the first one is endurance runs. And this is the type of run that you'll do most often as part of your ultra training, right? We as ultra runners need to build endurance. So we're going to spend a lot of time in this endurance run place. And if you're using the RPE scale, it's a 5 or 6 out of 10. Okay. So just as a reminder, like a 1 is sitting in your chair listening to this podcast, okay, or laying in bed listening to this podcast. A 10 is an all-out sprint that you can only sustain for seconds because that's how hard you're working. Endurance runs can range anywhere from 30 minutes to 6 hours or more, okay? And it's important that you adjust your pace and effort with the terrain that you're doing your run on, because the objective for an endurance run is endurance. And therefore we need it to be a 5 or a 6 on that RPE scale. Otherwise we start to dip into some of these other runs that we're going to talk about in a second that are higher or harder. And that's not going to give us the desired result. We talked a little bit about zone 3 in a ton of different episodes, but like how lots of people don't go slow enough when they're doing these types of endurance runs, Some people go way too fast and too hard, and they're in zone 3, maybe even in zone 4, and they're not seeing any results because they're just working too damn hard. Okay, so I really want to impress upon you that these endurance runs should be done at a 5 or a 6. It should be at your quote unquote, maybe you've heard this before, your forever pace, a pace that you could literally sustain forever. Now, some of you might be listening to this and you're like, that's a walk. Okay, great. If that's a 5 or a 6 out of 10 for you right now, do it. All right, because eventually you'll start to build consistency and you'll work in this endurance space and you'll do some of these other runs, which will help you to build a bigger cardio engine. We'll talk more about that as we go along. And we have actually talked about that in quite a few episodes. So if you're new here, there are 203 other episodes with lots of really valuable information. So please make sure to scroll back through and check some of those out. Okay. So that's the endurance run. All right. The next one is a steady state run. And this is a type of run that pushes you aerobically. This is an RPE of 7 to 8. So it's slightly higher and harder than your endurance run. And these runs can be anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours. Okay. And this is the type of run that's going to help you build that cardio engine, just like we were talking about. So while it might sort of suck in the moment to be pushing yourself harder than that endurance pace, I promise that you'll thank yourself later for putting forth this effort. And I just, as a like general disclaimer, I am not a huge fan of speed work or hard efforts. And so I have to work on this stuff just as much, just as hard as you guys. And I have to force myself to do it. And one of the ways that I do it is by reminding myself and like giving myself a little pep talk to say, it's going to suck while I'm doing it, but I'm going to be really proud of myself after I do it. And I'm going to thank myself later when I'm in my race and I've got another gear to borrow from, to work with, right? Sometimes I think about the body as a machine, as a car. And if you only ever train your endurance, like first or second gear, and side note, I don't even know if this analogy is going to work with people because I don't know how many of you guys have ever learned how to drive stick shift or understand like the different gears, but hopefully this makes sense to you. Because like so many people, I'm totally off on a tangent now, but like so many people I know never learned how to drive stick because they're basically non-existent anymore. So hopefully this whole stupid analogy makes sense. But endurance runs are like first and second gear. Like you could just go forever, nice and steady, but albeit slow. But in your race, you're going to need all the gears. And if you never train anything more than first or second gear, you won't have them available to you. So to bring this full circle, that's how I talk myself into doing some of these runs because I'm like, I'm going to need that gear later. So I might as well practice it now. Okay. So if you're just starting out, you'll do one bout of hard work and then cool down. So basically a steady state run is done kind of as an interval, meaning you'll warm up using that forever pace, that endurance pace, and then you'll do one or more sets of steady state efforts followed by recovery or your full cool down. So if you're starting out, you'll just do one block in the middle, that steady state effort at a 7 or an 8 RPE, and then you'll cool down. As you get stronger and your training progresses, you'll do more of those blocks and rest in between them. Now, one of the questions that comes up when we talk about these different types of workouts is, well, what type of terrain should I be doing these on? Now, in the endurance runs, we said anything and everything because that's likely what you're going to face in your race, and you need to adjust your pace, your effort with those endurance runs according to the terrain because you want to keep the effort in that 4, 5, 6-ish RPE level. Okay. Now, with these steady state runs, you're going to do them, and you should do them on all types of terrain, flat, hilly, rolling hills, uphill, downhill, all the things, right? But you're going to consistently run at that 7 to 8 level effort, regardless of what you're facing in terms of terrain, okay? So any and all terrain for those kinds of run. So that's the first two, endurance and steady state. The third is a tempo run. Now, this is the type of workout that is crucial if you want to go faster. And just like the previous two, we're ticking things up when it comes to the RPE level. This one, a tempo run, is an 8 or a 9 out of 10. So we went from 5 and 6, 6 and 7. Now we're at 8 and 9. And this you can do on any type of terrain because that's what you're going to face on race day. Okay. The total amount of time for these types of workouts can be anywhere from 40 minutes on the beginner end of things to 90 minutes on the more advanced or more fit side of things. Okay. So if you're just starting out, you'll do a shorter workout than someone who's been training for a while and has a higher capacity for work. Okay. Now in a tempo run, the work rest ratio is important. It's 2 to 1, work to rest. And so just like the steady state run, you're actually going to do the work of the tempo in sort of an interval format. And I get that this can sort of be confusing because I'm using the term intervals inside the definition for the steady state and the tempo run, but then we're actually going to do a running interval workout. So I don't want you to get too hung up on the fact that there are intervals in all of these things. What I want you to just understand is that when you go out on a tempo run, it isn't from start to finish, you're just blazing through this. Okay, you're going to do bouts of work, intervals of work at a 2 to 1 ratio. So for example, a beginner tempo workout would look like this. You do 3 times 12 minutes hard. So you'd run for 12 minutes hard at that 8 to 9 effort level. Then you would recover for 6 minutes, so 2 to 1 ratio, and then you would go twice more just like that. So basically you'd be doing 36 minutes worth of hard effort, right? 12 times 3 is 36, and then you'd get that recovery, and then you would bookend that workout with a warm-up, that endurance warm-up, and that endurance cool-down. Okay. And as you get more fit, you up the number of intervals as well as the duration of those intervals. So basically, you're just teaching yourself to run harder and faster for a longer period of time. Okay. So that's a tempo run. The last one on this list is the intervals, the running intervals. And this is one workout that I avoid like the plague because it's just so hard. And I told you guys at the beginning, I will be the first one to admit that I do not like speed work. I'm like most of you, I would imagine, right? Like unless you really love going fast, you probably don't really enjoy speed work, but it's a really necessary component. Okay. For those of you guys out there that are like, I'm so slow, I can never get any faster. I don't understand why. This is why. You got to be doing a little bit more of this stuff. Okay. I'm a huge fan, obviously, of the zone 2, the low RPE runs, because that's what's really going to help you learn to be upright and moving for prolonged periods of time. But if you don't have the engine to support the vehicle, then it won't really matter. Okay. Because you'll just max out at some point. Your body will be like, that's it. I'm tapping out. I'm done. Okay. So I'm committing to doing more of these in 2024. Maybe if you guys follow me on social media, I've been posting the last couple of days, I've had to do my intervals on the treadmill at the gym because the conditions around here have just been horrendous, like negative temps, wind chill factors that are like out of control. The roads were so slick here the other day. I didn't wear my spikes because I was like, I'm just going to go to the dirt road and it'll be fine. Well, I had to go a mile on the paved roads before I could get to the dirt roads. The dirt roads were better, but I was basically ice skating the whole way there and back. And the way back was actually worse because it's all downhill. And so at some points I was literally just sliding down the road. That was a sight to behold, I'm sure. But so lots of my intervals have been happening on the treadmill, which is good because it's a controlled environment and you can really push yourself, or I've really been pushing myself to do these intervals. So I'm going to give myself a gold star for it. But let's talk about these things. So basically the RPE for this type of run is a 9 to 10. So it is an all out effort, okay? And this type of run is important because it's going to help you go faster, obviously. But the cool part about doing some of these harder efforts is that it's actually going to improve other physiological things, right? With this specifically, these types of intervals are going to help you tolerate higher levels of physical output. And the underlying cool effect here is that it actually improves your blood plasma volume. So it's actually going to help you tolerate heat better. So this is something that I don't do well. I am not heat tolerant at all, which is another reason why I'm so committed to doing more intervals, more speed work in 2024, because I suck at racing in the heat, and I've got a couple races where it could be pretty warm this year. And so I don't want that to take me down, so to speak. And it's also going to deliver more blood and oxygen to your working muscles, which will help to delay their fatigue. So if you often hit a certain point in your run, or if you hit a certain level of mileage, and then it's like there's a precipitous drop off, you just feel like you can't go any further, you have all sorts of muscle aches and pains and fatigue, you're sort of hitting this limit. Like, we need to integrate some more higher level effort in order to raise your threshold for work. All right. So the amount of time that you're actually going to be working hard in over the course of these run interval workouts is just like 12 to 20 minutes. So I think a lot of times, and I include myself in this, we shy away from doing run intervals because we're like, this is going to fucking suck. We're going to be spending hours running super hard and we're just going to be miserable. No, it's actually a short, limited amount of time. And the work rest ratio is 1 to 1 here. Okay. So a sample sort of beginning running interval workout would look like 4 times 3 minutes hard with 3 minutes of recovery between efforts. And again, you're going to bookend it with an endurance warm up and an endurance cool down. All right. So really, you're only ever running, like if you're doing this workout, I just did this one the other day. If you're really doing it well, you're just doing 12 minutes worth of hard, hard effort. And those 3 minutes, you better believe I was looking at that treadmill. Like, you know, the first 2 of those 4 intervals for me were like, yeah, these are hard, but like, I was feeling really good about myself. Intervals 3 and 4, I was like, life sucks. But like I told you earlier, when I was done with them, I was super pumped and like very proud of myself. And I was like, this is great. I can see how I really have to talk to myself in order to get myself out the door or on the treadmill in order to do this. But those last 2 intervals, I could tell that I was starting to get really tired. Whereas the first 2, I would be running and I'd look down and it would be like 2.5 minutes through my 3. And I'd be like, oh, great, only 30 seconds left. Intervals 3 and definitely interval number 4, I was watching that timer like a hawk. I was like, how much longer do I have to keep pumping my arms and legs? But I survived. I lived to tell the tale. And that's all that matters, right? So keep that in mind when you're starting to schedule some of this stuff for your training plan. In another episode, I'll talk about when to start scheduling these into your training plan. But for right now, I want to just expose you to the fact that there are multiple types of runs. And there's one that I actually didn't even talk about. There's a fifth type of run, and that's a recovery run. And that actually is even easier than an endurance run. So technically there are five types of running workouts that you need to be doing, but it's not a hard sell for me to tell you that you should do a recovery run, right? I wanted to really talk about the ones that maybe were a little bit more of a harder sell because you would have to do a little bit more work and get a little bit more uncomfortable. I talked about this at the beginning, but I took a quick look on the internet. I scoured the Googles, and I wanted to see what people were putting out there in terms of training plans, 50K specific training plans online, because I wanted to see, like, what are coaches telling you guys about what types of runs you should be doing? So I put into the Googles 50K training plans, and of course, a million different resources, different websites came up. And so I just took the first, you know, page. I didn't dig any deeper than the first page. Otherwise, this would have been like a months long research extravaganza. But I came up with a couple ones, and I want to just talk real quickly about them because I think it will just demonstrate the wide world of coaching and the number of ways that you can skin this cat, to be perfectly honest, right? There's lots of different ways that you can get yourself from where you are to a 50K finish. But I think that these types of running workouts that I just mentioned are a crucial part of that. And I was really surprised at what I found in terms of these running plans. So let's just talk about them real quick. So Hal Higdon, you guys all know Hal Higdon. Very prominent name when it comes to run training, very popular. And I looked at his 50K training plan and what it entails. He's got some long, slow runs, which he classifies as 30 to 90 seconds per mile slower than your marathon pace, which to me doesn't seem slow at all, but I guess, as I always say, it's all relative. He talks about 3-to-1 training, which is basically you do the first 3/4 of your run as normal and then picking up the pace for the last fourth. So somewhat of a faster pace, but not race pace. And I think, like, my biggest beef with most of these is that either they're not specific enough, like, you know, do this 3-to-1 training, like, run as normal. That doesn't really define what kind of effort you should be putting out. And then pick up the pace for the last fourth. And I've copied this directly from the website so that I could read it to you guys so that I wouldn't misspeak about his direction to all of you. So it's somewhat of a faster pace, but not race pace. So, I mean, I think about this from your perspective. Like, if I were to go and erase my memory, erase everything I know about running and run training and coaching and all these things, and I were to go and download this plan, I would be so freaking confused. I would be like, what does this mean? And if I don't have a marathon pace, like, let's say I've only done a half marathon, you want me to go 30 to 90 seconds per mile slower than your marathon pace? I'm also not really a fan of any plan that forces me to look at my watch often, or really at all. So, like, that's a personal preference. So I guess, you know, if any of you techie people like to look at your watch and you've set it up so that it beeps to tell you whether you're in range or out of range, however that works, maybe this plan will work for you. For me, not so much. He's also got walking and race pace efforts. There is no speed work that is built into this plan. He actually doesn't want you doing speed work as part of his 50K training plan. He thinks you should do that outside the training plan, like, have that figured out beforehand. The other thing he has you do, which is your long runs on Sunday. So your back-to-back runs, your long runs are Saturday, Sunday, but the longer of the two is on Sunday, which is an interesting tactic. in my opinion. Okay. All of this is my opinion, you guys, and you're free to disagree with me all you want. My whole goal here is to just sort of expose you to the fact that there are other plans and give you my perspective on the good, the bad, the ugly. Okay. The next one I found was via Outside Magazine from a coach named Sean Messner, who I have not heard of before, but apparently he's pretty popular. And I'm not going to lie, it was a pretty aggressive 16-week buildup. Now, it does assume that you've done a couple marathons and you have already built a base. That was very clear when I looked at the plan. Like right at the very top, they were like, basically, this plan is only for you if you've done some marathons and you've built a base, which I can totally get behind. And he keeps it pretty simple. Easy runs, some speed work that's written as if you're on the track, which I will never understand because I'm not a track person. So those types of plans, immediately my brain just shuts off. My brain's like, what is 800 meters? I have no idea what that is. All of you track people that are listening are like, it's just 4 times around the track. I have no idea. That's a guess. I have no idea. My husband would be horrified because he used to run track in high school, and I'm just hoping he doesn't hear this. And honestly, there's another one in here, medium effort runs, which in my opinion isn't clear enough for most people to execute properly. Like, what is a medium effort? Where, give me a scale. Like, that's why I love the RPE scale so much, because it's like, okay, I can appreciate for myself what a 1 means and what a 10 means. So a medium effort, okay, great. I guess I could guess that that's a 5 or a 6, but who knows, right? There's no clear delineation. There's no context for me to put it in. So I'm just going to make it up. Okay. And then he does have you running a lot. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, optional run on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you could technically be running 6 days a week on that plan, which to me is a lot of running. That's a lot of running. And maybe you're conditioned for it and maybe not. Again, this is all just my opinion. Okay. So just take it for what that's worth. The next one I found was on Innovate's website, Innovate the shoe brand, who coincidentally I almost worked for way back in the day, but that's a story for another time. This coach named Sarah McCormick. She's got a 16-week plan with lots of variety in there, but honestly, it's really hard to understand. Just the syntax, the way that the plan is written is like very confusing. Like my brain, I started to read it and my brain instantly switched off. I was like, this is too complicated. I want no part of this. So honestly, I have found that that leads to athletes like myself skipping workouts or making up their own or just reverting to whatever they like doing the most, because they're like, I don't have the bandwidth to interpret this workout, right? So again, like all of these are totally viable plans, but at the same time, you have to really sort of look through a critical lens and think, okay, when I buy this plan or when I follow this plan, how much of this am I actually going to do? I mean, I think you guys are all pretty smart. A lot of you guys have written to me and said, I transitioned away from X, Y, or Z plan because X, Y, or Z was too much or too aggressive or didn't have enough of the right stuff or was way too difficult to understand. So I do think that sometimes you have to just try and see, but make sure that when you're choosing a plan that there is some variety, that it's not just numbers in a grid and it's not all running all the time. Like, make sure, one of the reasons that I didn't like the Sean Messner plan was like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, optional Friday run, Saturday, Sunday. When do you have time to do anything else? When do you have time to shake down? When do you have time to do any mobility or strength training? I mean, like, that's an aggressive amount of running, which again, if that's good for you, like if you've been able to do that, more power to you. But in my opinion, there are all these other components that make for a well-rounded, resilient physical body. And if you're maxed out on running, then you're sure as shit not going to do any of this other stuff because you're like, I don't have the bandwidth or the time. So just like, again, critical lens, think about it. The last one that I found was on womensrunning.com, and it's an 18-week training plan, 50K training plan, running 6 to 7 days a week with a lot of what they call distance of choice. Like they will spell out, I mean, the first week of the plan, you're running 7 days a week. They do incorporate some recovery runs, some steady, consistent effort. Again, have no idea what that means. Intervals that are written like this, 5 times 5 minutes at 20 to 25 beats per minute higher than base pace. You lost me. I mean, I want to do this plan because it does incorporate a lot of the other things, but the second that you're forcing me to go or like suggesting that I go 20 beats higher than my base pace is too much for me. Because if you think back to the episode that we did on heart rate training, where I talked about the 7 different factors that contribute to your heart rate, you can start to see how those 20 beats, those 20 to 25 beats can be sort of blown out of the water straight out of the gate. Like if you've had caffeine or a bad night's sleep or you're dehydrated, like that isn't a solid measure of how much effort you should be doing. Okay. So again, guys, I'm not poo-pooing any of these plans. I just wanted to pull down off the Google and see like what else is out there and sort of give you my opinion on the plans. Obviously I'm biased and think that my Run Your First 50K plan is the bee's knees, but I fully understand and fully support anybody using whatever plan they feel like works best for them. I have friends and clients who have run 5 and 6 and 7 days a week, and that works for them. Great. My big thing is, how do we do all the other stuff that makes you strong and resilient and sort of like race proof, right? Whatever distance, 50K, 50 miles, 100, whatever it is, because I want you to be spit out the other end of that training cycle and that race in a good place. I don't want you to be broken and beaten and battered and be so over ultra running that you never want to do it again, right? So sure, you could power your way through any of these plans for the 16 to 20 weeks or 18 or whatever it's going to take. You could grin and bear it. You could grit your teeth and like power through, but is that really the best solution, right? Like, is that really the best option? So again, I'm just offering you guys a different perspective, a way to look and evaluate any of these plans that you see out there on the internet critically, and just see, do they have these different types of run workouts? Like, do we have endurance? Do we have steady state? Do we have tempo? Do we have running intervals? Or is it just one big grid of miles? And are we clear about the effort level and the sort of time under tension, the amount of work that we need to do in order to get the result that we want? Okay. All right. That is what I have for you guys today. Hopefully it was helpful for you. Like I said, in the future, I'm going to be sharing how to plug these workouts into your training plan. But for now, just see if you can experiment with the different levels of effort required for each one of these workouts. Because most of us just operate on autopilot. We just do the effort that we are most comfortable with. So your homework is going to try to be to replicate one of each of these workouts. An endurance run, you guys probably have that on lockdown, okay? The tempo run, which again is, if you're going to do the beginner version, remember it's a work rest ratio of 2 to 1. So the beginner workout would be 3 times 12 minutes hard with 6 minutes recovery in between. And of course, you're going to bookend that with an endurance warm up and an endurance cool down. Okay. The running intervals, sorry, I skipped ahead. I should have said steady state run first. So steady state RPE level 7 to 8. All right. These are going to be done as an interval. So in the beginning, you're just going to do one round of steady state running at the RPE of 7 to 8. All right, so bookend it with a warm up and a cool down. And let's start out with 12 minutes of a steady state run. Okay, do it on all types of terrain. All right, so basically, if you do 12 minutes of that steady state and you do a 10 minute warm up and a 10 minute cool down, you've got roughly 30 minute run. The tempo is next, and that's what we were just talking about. The RPE level is 8 to 9. You're going to do a 2-to-1 work rest ratio. You're going to do 3 times 12 minutes hard with 6 minutes in between. So 12 minutes hard, 6 minutes easy. 12 minutes hard, 6 minutes easy. 12 minutes hard, 6 minutes easy, cool down. Obviously, you'd warm up at the beginning of that. And then running intervals, the last thing on the list, the RPE is a 9 out of 10. So when you are doing these work intervals, you are working at almost your max capacity. All right. So you're going to do a warm up and a cool down. And if you're going to do the beginner interval running workout, it would be 4 times 3 minutes hard with 3 minutes of recovery in between. Okay. So 3 minutes hard, 3 minutes easy, 3 hard, 3 easy, 3 hard, 3 easy, 3 hard, 3 easy, cool down. Okay. So give those a try. Let me know what you think. And then in a future episode, we'll talk about how to plug these into your training plan going forwards. Hey, I don't know if you've heard, but I'm on a mission to help 10,000 women run their first 50K. So it would mean a lot to me if you would rate and review the podcast on your favorite platform, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Amazon, because that goes a long way towards helping more women like you find the podcast and me and all the free resources that I offer here. You could also share an episode that was helpful to you in your social media feed or maybe with your best running friends. Again, I would really appreciate it. And if you're on Facebook, I want to invite you to join my private group, Run Your First 50K. To join, you'll just go to Facebook and search under groups for Run Your First 50K, request to join, and answer the questions so that we know how to help you, and you're in. And last but not least, if you'd like to be coached by me in 2024, make sure that you're on the She Runs Ultras waitlist. The membership is currently closed, but I'm opening spots starting on April 1st, 2024. And this is where I give you everything I've got in terms of helping you directly and coaching you through the process of training for your very first ultra. Training plans, strength and mobility workouts, mindset, one-on-one coaching calls, not to mention the kick-ass community of women just like you that want to stretch their comfort zone and see what they can do this year. I can't wait to see you inside the membership, but in order to do that, you've got to be on the wait list. Just go to SheRunsUltras.com and click the little red button up in the corner that says Get Notified. FYI, ladies on the wait list get first dibs on the available spots, so make sure you're on that list before April 1st. All right. Don't put off running your first ultra. 2024 is your year, so let's go.